Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. Focus on the growth of CONCACAF soccer. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And we apologize for being a little late. You guys are used to seeing this episode on Tuesdays. I've had a heck of a week. I don't know about Rodrigo, but I know I mentioned last episode that we were putting my house for sale. And this market, guys, is hot. I mean, when I say hot, we literally like kind of came into the realization of like doing it, kind of jumping on board, getting ready to sell the house, cleaned it out, literally put it Monday at 11 p.m. And on Tuesday, we had 7 people go look at it and we got received 10 offers. And as of now, we already accepted an offer within a day. And so we're waiting to see. They did actually, Rodrigo, they actually went and did the inspection on the house. So we'll see kind of how that goes. But man, super crazy week. Super crazy 2-3 weeks for me, to be honest. But how you doing, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And yeah, congrats, I guess. I don't know if it's official yet, but that sounds like a good deal for you guys. I'm happy for y'all. But yeah, it's been a good week, long week here. I'm actually going to be heading down to Houston this weekend, Father's Day weekend. So I'll be seeing you guys.
Cool, man. I wish the Dynamo would be playing so we can go check it out. I know my dad obviously won't make it with his hip surgery and everything, but it would be cool. There's definitely like a game midweek on Wednesday. That'd be pretty cool to check out. But, you know, it is what it is. Are you just going to be here for the weekend, basically?
Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, we're just going in tomorrow night and then coming back Sunday.
Cool. Hey, so man, plenty of soccer, right? Soccer all over the world, not just CONCACAF soccer. You want to kind of hit it on basically the tournaments around the world and what's happening around? Just a general information? Go for it, man.
I mean, we have soccer, like you said, everywhere right now. There's qualifiers, there's tournaments. Biggest tournament right now going on is the Euro Cup. We've really been keeping up with those games. You know, here in the U.S. stateside, they're all early games. So that's kind of challenging for some people to being able to watch that if you're working or busy with other things. And then, you know, in the afternoon, you kind of get that Copa America, a little bit lesser games, I guess, being played out throughout the week. Euros every single day. But man, there's been some crazy matches. You know, we had France versus Germany. That was actually a pretty good match if you get to watch it. It was kind of pretty, you know, back and forth. France ended up taking that one 1-0 with an own goal, so that was kind of interesting. But it's been good. I've been enjoying the games, mostly, I guess, watching the highlights and then a little bit of Copa America in the afternoon when I get home from work. But it's been good.
You know, sadly, I have not watched any of the Copa America matches. I think they're just like in the middle of the day when I'm can't really watch anything on TV, but I have been trying to catch at least one or two games from the Euro. Just kind of have it like in the background or watching. The one that I was watching the other day was the Slovakia against Poland. That was a pretty good one that I was watching. And also I watched a little bit of England Croatia, and I'm hoping to catch the one tomorrow, the England Scotland. I think that's gonna be a good one.
Definitely.
Just for the rivalry match type of environment. But bringing back to the neck of the woods, CONCACAF, we don't have a tournament right now, but qualification is done for the third and final round of qualifiers, and pretty exciting that we see the group. Obviously, we had El Salvador, Panama, and Canada make it into this. I guess it's in an octagonal. It used to be the hexagonal. So making that group, you have Canada, Honduras, El Salvador, United States, Panama, Costa Rica, Mexico, Jamaica. This is going to be really, really fun. There's only 3.5 spaces. Whew. It's going to be very tough. I think we're going to probably see another crazy upset. You know, kind of like how the U.S. Did not qualify last year. I'm not saying it's going to be the U.S. or Mexico, but did you take any of those teams there? And
it could be. You never know.
Yeah, it could be.
Honestly, Mexico has been close in the past.
Yeah.
The U.S., obviously, they got it.
Was it in 2014 that the United States saved them? Is that when it was, or 2010?
See, that's what a lot of people like to say. I don't put it them they got saved by the U.S. because Mexico did what they had to do, which was win.
Right.
And obviously the U.S., you know, they're not going to let themselves win. So it's kind of like...
Well, and the, I think that would've helped the opposite direction went for the U.S. because all they had to do was tie. And the Honduras beat Mexico, which, you know... That I mean, none of a lot of people saw happening, but Honduras is a good team and it's hard to play there.
Yeah, and Honduras was actually playing to try to qualify too. So you got to take that in mind. You know, these are teams that, yes, they're maybe not at the level as like the U.S. and Mexico, but when you're trying to like, you know, go all out, you're going to get that win. And they, you know, they beat Mexico, ended up qualifying for that last place. And that the, what do you call it? That international playoff thing that they do.
Right, and they ended up falling short against Australia last year. Yeah, I know it was very tough because I think the team was finally starting to pick up, but it's not easy to go from Honduras and to Australia. It's a big trip, and I mean, obviously Australia had to do the same thing, but Australia was able to, I think they tied in Honduras, and obviously they ended up winning at home. But with that being said, and obviously we're still a long way. There's what, I think if I'm not mistaken, there's 14 games to be played since it's a big round robin, I guess. But Rodrigo, I'm gonna put you on the spot right away. Who do you think would be the, you know, the first four spots? They don't have to necessarily be in order. Just who do you think are gonna be in the, you know, to have the chance to qualify to the World Cup?
Oh man, I mean, this is going to be tough. If we're talking about who has the better like team on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this rate, you have to base it off paper, right?
Yes and no, I guess, because like, okay, so we're going in, you know, we're not trying to get ahead of ourselves here, but, you know, we're going into Qatar, World Cup here, but then the next World Cup is going to be hosted by the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, which automatically qualify.
Right.
And they're going to try to do one inter-confederation play for one more spot.
Right.
Which that's gonna leave Honduras, El Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, Jamaica. Like this team, this could be their last World Cup they can get before, you know, 8 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So that puts it at a really tough spot. You know, you don't want those teams, obviously, you know, for especially for CONCACAF soccer, if you don't make this World Cup, you're falling behind a lot. So I think it's gonna be, you know, really competitive. I you know, off the top of my head, I just wanna, well, I guess not top of my head, but I think the teams that would make it, I can definitely see Costa Rica fighting for a spot there. Mexico, the U.S., you have to. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be hard. And I want to go with Canada, but Honduras has been playing really well too.
Right.
But El Salvador at the same time, you know, they kind of showed a little bit more in this, the play-in that they had. So I don't know. It's really going to be tough. I mean... this CONCACAF thing, the setup, I think now it looks more fair on paper than in the past. Because, I mean, you even have Jamaica. They have top players playing, in, you know, and
I think, you know, leagues. One big factor there's going to be, in my humbled opinion, when it comes to a lot of the teams such as, like, say, like the United States, right, or Jamaica even, a lot of those players don't play in CONCACAF region. You know, they play in Europe. They play in very good teams in Europe, very good leagues. And they don't have to feel like, you know, I think what levels the playing field in CONCACAF often is the playing field themselves, right? You know, they go into really, well, I don't want to say crummy, but they go into some stadiums that are, you know, subpar. The fields are probably tore apart. They're not the nicest fields. And as a professional player, I don't know if you're supposed to be like being a person that has to complain about it. But I mean, that has been the case a few times. But even with some Mexican players, they always complain about how, like, oh, we go to Honduras and it's a mess, or we go to Salvador and it's a mess. But that's how those super teams are able to have like some kind of playing field.
And yeah, I mean, and that has been in the past. And I think watching this last few games from Honduras, El Salvador, obviously gets a little bit more competitive. But yeah, like in the past, I know Honduras or El Salvador, they've left their grass pretty long on purpose because they know it slows down the play, you know, just whatever I guess the standard should be, just a little bit, you know, I guess to the max of what it could be. And that, you know, obviously slows down a lot of players. I think, you know, there have been some games that I remember, not CONCACAF, but other teams, I believe it was Barcelona, Madrid, or I don't know, somebody basically went out there and told the groundkeeper to, you know, if they can keep that grass a little bit higher so they can slow down Ronaldo. So that's just kind of like one of those things that if it works for them, I'm sure it works over here.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. I wouldn't say that if I'm taking the, you know, the four spots that could have an opportunity to make it, I would probably take Canada, Honduras, United States, and Mexico. That's what it'd be interesting. I mean, obviously, Costa Rica was in the World Cup last year. Panama was in the World Cup last year. You know, there's Jamaica and Canada. It's been a long time since we've seen them. And Salvador probably like since the, I think it's 82 World Cup. So it's been a while since a few of these nations have made it. But, you know, time will tell. But let's, you know, this is still a while. We have until, I guess, September when they start up.
Yep.
But we do have the Gold Cup coming up shortly. And the Gold Cup, you know, I'm going to give a quick shout out. I think he does listen to us often. But Christian from 4-4, I listened to his podcast and I told him I was jealous because he was able to get like a media badge for the CONCACAF. So he's going to be able to go to those matches and kind of cover them using the media. And I was like, so, oh man, that's so cool. Because, you know what I mean? You get a different perspective on the teams and, you know, be able to ask the player stuff, which I think would be fantastic for what we do here talking about CONCACAF. So I'm going to see if I can still get in. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, it'd be kind of cool to be a part of that. But Gold Cup kicks off in July. I think it's literally a month from now. Is it?
The main competition, I believe it is. But we're going to see the, I guess, a play-in for some spots.
Right, there's like, what, three or four more teams to get in, right?
Right.
And so we'll go real quick. There should be... So there's four groups total. The first group has Mexico, Salvador, Curaçao, and whoever makes it out of the preliminary match 9, which, who would that be? I did not even know yet. Okay, cool. And then group B has United States, Canada, Martinique, who we talked about before, which is kind of surprising. They're not in a FIFA tournament because they have been pretty good in the past. And then another team waiting to find a place. Group C has Costa Rica, Jamaica, Suriname, which actually played very well. Sadly, they ended up losing and not making it to round number 3. And then group D has Honduras, Panama, Grenada, and Qatar. And very good matches. I mean, for Houston, VBA Stadium will see the Group D action. And then for, I guess, for you, Rodrigo, let's see. I thought I saw. Yeah.
It's going to be Group A.
You get Group A. So you would get, like, Mexico, Salvador, all those good matches. Are you planning to go, maybe, or are you not sure?
Actually, I wanted to go to all three. They're all close by. I just kind of said, pick one, my wife.
Yeah. Well, so just see, one, I see that I thought they were going to be, at least that group, it seems like they're not going to be like a doubleheader because they have Mexico playing in AT&T Stadium and then El Salvador Curaçao playing in Toyota Stadium, which is kind of interesting. But okay.
Yeah, everything's close by, but yeah, it's going to be in different stadiums. I think it's going to be for the like Mexico pool more
yeah,
than anything.
Yeah, for sure. The other stadium may be smaller.
I've noticed that there's also, I guess, a lot of El Salvadoran community here, so I think they're trying to separate those as
That's
well.
True. That's true. And then when it comes to, let me see, just double check. Yeah, so even for quarterfinals against the Dallas area, there'll be two matches, and then Houston would also see two matches, which those are still not even, you know, we don't even know who it would be, because they're split in between Austin and Houston. I would love to see, honestly, even if the U.S. came to play, I may want to watch them, but like a U.S. Honduras or something like that would be fun to watch, or even Mexico. Definitely, I need to keep an eye out so I can go to that match. I went last Gold Cup, and I think I mentioned in the past, against Costa Rica versus Mexico, and Ochoa saved us in PKs, and we kept going further, and it was awesome. So, and it was actually pretty good because we got to see Haiti play Canada, which was another fantastic match. So, you know, maybe Gold Cup and CONCACAF doesn't get as much love as other places. I think, you know, they throw us in the bag as in we're like, what is it, the Asian Confederation, or even the, what is it, Oceanic Federation? Is it Oceania? What is it?
Oceania.
Yeah, there you go. And we know, like, that one, I feel bad for them because they only get, they don't even get, like, if they win, they don't even make it to the World Cup. They had to play, like, a half game. So that kind of sucks for the World Cup. But, yeah, so there's plenty of action, and we hope that you guys keep checking. I try to make sure I run the Twitter account, and it's definitely easier to run that than Instagram. So I try to post as much, what's it called, polls. So that way you guys can, you know, we want to know what you guys think. And I think the latest poll that I had was who you think was going to win the final group for the World Cup for CONCACAF. And I'll probably do something similar for each group on the Gold Cup. And it'd be kind of fun to see everyone's perspective. There's so many. Yeah, there's definitely like a big Salvadorian community in Texas. I thought it was mostly Houston, but yeah, you're right. It's kind of everywhere, and so it's good to see that, you know, that really, really tiny country, because I think they have like maybe 2 million people or something like that. It's ridiculous. But with that being said, right now you guys are obviously not gonna be able to see this because I don't put no YouTube videos up, but Rodrigo and I are wearing the same hat, so we're gonna talk a little Dynamo quickly, and kind of segue to, if you are from the Houston area, or if you are from Texas, well, I don't know about Texas, but if you're from Houston area and you don't have a team that you follow, because, you know, maybe the team that you follow is in Mexico, Salvador, you know, you're a big, I don't know, maybe Herediano, you know, Costa Rica fan, but make sure you check out Dynamo, the Houston Dynamo. They're a very good team. I mean, they try to be a good team lately. The last 5-6 years, they've kind of struggled to make playoffs and do something, but it's really fun to go watch live matches. I think Rodrigo's kind of getting the hang of it. He's definitely enjoying it more. We still try to rep what we grew up repping, but just a quick shout out, listen, you know, if you guys are listening on the feed on dynamofeelers.com, make sure you check out 442. Christian does a very good job of talking. He talks a little bit of all soccer, and then he does Houston local stuff, and obviously the Dynamo. So make sure you check him out, and definitely check out dynamotheory.com for you know, the latest information, latest transfer rumors. I know that it looks like we're getting a left back coming up from, I want to say, Zimbabwe. Have you heard that, Rodrigo? I think it's
The youngster.
Teenage Habibi, I think his name is. And it seems like there's a rumor that Christian Ramirez may be going to Scotland. But Rodrigo, you know, what are your thoughts on the Dynamo so far? Obviously, they've had a big break. And what do you expect in the future? They play LAFC this Saturday, late game. But yeah, man, what are your thoughts on it so far?
Yeah, no, definitely going to be an interesting game. I'm going to be down there, so hopefully we can catch it or get to watch it over there. LAFC, obviously, they're not in the best rhythm as they've been in other seasons, but the Dynamo actually has been stepping it up a lot. You know, they've been getting a little bit more dynamic in their play. It's going to be a good match. I see...
And it's funny to say that because I heard that it's going to be the first, I think, sellout LAFC match, you know, in over a year, which we all know that they have a very good, you know, stadium when it comes to, like, the fans that rep for them, and what is it, 4242 or whatever their thing is called, their ultras or whatever. But yeah, no, it's going to be a fun match. It's definitely a late match. So I may be asleep by then because I'm an old guy and 10 o'clock tends to be late. But I'm going to try to watch it.
Those are the fun times, man. That's when the games get good.
It's, I know, that's
9, 10, that's when you get the good games.
You're right. Dynamo have been looking much better. Even obviously their last match was almost a month ago, or 3 weeks ago, against Sporting KC, where they ended up losing 3-2. Definitely the final score definitely looks a little iffy, the 3-2, because I feel like it was all KC. But even in other matches, Dynamo have showed that they can play with anyone. They just have to be consistent. And has there been any player that it kind of has impressed you this season, Rodrigo? You know, I don't know if it's a new guy or somebody that's been there a couple seasons, but has anybody kind of just impressed you from the matches that you've been able to watch?
So this is kind of being funny, maybe if people listen back when we talk to Christian, it's maybe a little bit contradicting or maybe not. But a player that at first I saw, and because I watched him, you know, play live against Dallas, I was thinking like, man, this guy, he's not the guy that we need. But in the last game, in the last few matches, Uruti, man, he actually has, I don't know, like, if maybe there was just a fire, maybe he was trying to get more into, you know, into form. But, man, he's actually been pretty good. Like, it surprised me, you know, how well he's been playing the last few games. I believe he's our top leader scorer right now. So he's in really good rhythm. Hopefully, you know, in this last 3 weeks, they've improved more. They've gotten more team chemistry, I would say. Or we'll see a little bit more
that's
coming
funny
from them in the attack.
Because before he went kind of like on a stretch of like, you know, giving some assists and scoring, the guys in the Dynamo Theory chat that we have, like we kind of talk about articles and I make fun of them because they're very nerdy with their stats. I mean, they go very in depth, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the stat. It's very good. But I was working on an article that it never went anywhere. And the article was about Ruti, how he was just not a good player for us, how the only good stat he had was pressure, but his goal and shot, you know, shot ratio and stuff like that was just terrible. And then the dude went on rampage. Like, I think he scored like three straight games or like in three out of four games. So yeah, he's been on fire, and you can definitely tell, like you said, he's playing with heart. And I saw a picture they posted. I think it was the Dynamo posted it, and he has a captain's armband. So it looks like, you know, he's becoming a staple with the team, and especially if Christian Ramirez looks like he's going on the way out. I mean, he's not going to get benched if he continues how he's playing. But yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah, I think if we can build up the midfield a little bit more, as far as like, you know, giving better through balls or doing a little bit more, you know, breakaway passing for him, I think obviously it'll give him better opportunity. And, you know, talking about, you know, players that have impressed me, Derek Jones, you know, he's a solid player, physical guy. I know people are like, oh, you know, he loses the ball, kind of thing like that. He's lost the ball, but on mostly challenges. So he hasn't really given up big mistakes. And the thing I like about him, he's physical and he basically goes all out with high pressure. You know, I think we saw him, what game was it? Man, it feels like such a long time ago now, but there was a game where I think you were at the game, right? Was it the Kansas City game where he ended up winning the ball back, playing it through to Ruti and, you know, got that.
Yeah, I think he ended up getting like man of the match, I think, if not someone else. But he played like that was probably his best game ever as a pro, at least that's what they even mentioned. He just has a very good because he's such a big dude, he looks like he has trouble like running, and looks like he's like already tired like 30 minutes in. But the dude is solid. He's very poised. I think his position is very good. He does seem to have heavy feet, you know, like he's not like, but when the ball is at his feet, he does very well of shielding it and using his body, because there's some big dudes that did not know how to use their body. And he does a hell of a job doing that. Yeah, so the Dynamo, again, play Saturday, June 19 at 10 p.m. Central. So again, that's going to be, you know, by the time it's all over, it's going to be pretty much Sunday. And then they play Portland on Wednesday, and then again Saturday against Rosa Lake, and it's going to keep going on like that. Well, you'll see a lot of like game, you know, three games in eight days. Yeah, three games in 8 days. I'm kind of happening, sadly, because we do have players like Darwin Seren, and obviously probably most likely Minor Figueroa and Bonilla Garcia, and even Ari Lasseter. They'll probably miss a good chunk of July because of the Gold Cup. So the good thing maybe is because they're not necessarily like starters for us, but I think they do create a lot of depth. I mean, those guys always tend to come in as a substitution, except for Minor. Minor's a starter, obviously. But yeah, Rodrigo, you want to mention anything else, or we can go ahead and end it, man?
All right, so big question. We're talking MLS. We're talking Gold Cup. As we all know, Javier Hernandez, Chicharito, has been top of the MLS right now, scoring goals. Does he get called up at the last minute spot for the Gold Cup?
I would. I would call him in a heartbeat because you don't have a striker. We talked about this on, you know, seeing Mexico play in the Nations League against Costa Rica and against the U.S., right? Yeah, that's right. I was thinking who there is. But yeah, you just see the lack of... Right now, I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, are, you know, is Tata Martino going to get fired? The U.S. beat them? I'm like, okay, first of all, you're like overthinking it. If you look at the Mexican squad, overall, they have a good squad, but there's a lot of main pieces kind of missing. And the striker position that had been, you know, as of late, are probably one of our best positions. You know, you have Chicharito, Javier Hernandez playing, you know, in Man U, playing in Real Madrid, just kind of gathering minutes, even having like a healthy Giovanni Dos Santos, which that hasn't been the case in a while. And we all know Raul Jimenez, that was his, you know, spot, and sadly he's hurt. But I think you need to bring back someone that is hot, like Javier Hernandez. Chicharito would definitely, even if you don't put him as a starter, I think he'll bump anytime he'll be on the field. He's definitely like a magnet to attract defenders in and out. So yes, to answer that question, I would definitely bring Chicharito in. I think Carlos Vela's probably not gonna get called up, especially because of injury or whatever. And it's kind of sad because that golden generation never seemed to like click at full cylinder. And when I refer to that, I'm talking about like Giovanni, Vela, and Chicharito. It seemed like they were all kind of like in different forms at certain times, but sadly, that's kind of over. And even though we do have other wingers like the Gatito Corona, and you have Irwin Lozano, Chucky, yeah, it's just interesting. But who do you think is gonna who do you think is gonna win the Gold Cup altogether?
Mexico, of course, for me. You know, I gotta go with the home country. But now that's a good point with Chicharito. I mean, I know people have been obviously call him old, all this stuff, but I think if he's in a good rhythm, he should be called up. I know that they're also trying to get Funes Mori to join the team, do the whole naturalization for him. And I think they have to do like an appeal because he played with Argentina at least one game. Or
yeah, I was going to say in the past, I've been okay with it. Like when we had like Guille Franco play with us and Cigna, but all those guys never played with their national team. So since Funes Mori played with their national team, that kind of bothers me because I do feel like it's kind of cheating.
And I get it. I mean, he's been a big part of, I guess, the Mexican league. And I guess a lot of Mexicans, Monterrey fans, that really like him. But
give me Guillac, man. Give me Guillac. We're going to go that way.
I think anybody.
Get the better guy. I was going to say something real quick with that, and I'm blanking. Oof. But do you have anything else to add?
No, I mean, I just wanted to talk about the Mexican squads. A lot of you guys that do follow soccer a lot, we know the Summer Olympics are coming up. Mexico's in it, U23. We had a lot of good players that actually played this Nations League Cup or Finals that are young and that were in it. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they pull any players. I doubt it for the Gold, you know, like I think they'll leave them for the Gold Cup. But I think that would just open up. You know, it'll make sense to me if you do call up Chicharito at the, you know, his rhythm. But,
that's true. It'd be nice.
You know, I think they only have a couple of days before they make the decision and, you know, he has to start training with the team soon. So
yeah, I completely forgot because you'll lose most likely. I think you're losing Guillermo Ochoa for sure to that squad. I think he's gonna play in the Summer Olympics, so you'll lose him for Gold Cup. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I know you have like a tuna.
You
have Antuna. Yeah. I mean, you have a couple players. You have Carlos Rodriguez that played for this. You know, there's a couple of key pieces that actually started. You know, you have Cordoba, which I don't think he even got any minutes lately, but you know, you got young players that are good and that have been playing with the national team. So, or the, I guess,
well, what I can older see, I think, national team. Obviously, because the Olympics was supposed to be last year, I think they made this like a U24. So if you're 24 years old,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. U20, yeah. I think it's U23.
Yeah,
but I think Ochoa doesn't call it, you know. I don't think you're allowed to put any players.
So right now, what I see as like the preliminary It's Ochoa, it's and then Henry Martin are the only guys that I see there. Oh no, and Luis Romo are the three guys that I see over the age of 24. So will they stay that way? I'm not sure, but that probably is gonna be pretty similar. And yeah, I would love to see Chicharito. I mean, who doesn't love Chicharito? Chicharito is one of those players that he looks like not a goal scorer at all, but the dude finds a way to score a goal all the time. You know, you make get fun of, like, the dude looks like he trips, it hits him in the nose, and it goes in. It's like, dude, it's a goal. It doesn't matter how you look at it. But I'm going to go ahead and end this for tonight. Hopefully, you know, you guys weren't waiting on us for too long. I know that we do have some good listeners out there. And again, we'll continue to talk CONCACAF soccer. I'm trying to get settled into this big house for now until I move into my next home. But yeah, reach out to us on our social medias at Crossing Soccer Borders. Rodrigo, what's your Twitter handle? Is it Rodrigo Segura 01?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so reach out to Rodrigo. You know, follow him. He definitely keeps up with a lot of the, like, Liverpool and European action. Lately, I've been kind of just staying with MLS, Little Liga MX, and obviously CONCACAF soccer. So make sure you follow us on those social media platforms. Definitely subscribe, like, comment, share. You know, do everything that you can to continue helping us grow. And in the near future, we'll strive to have interviews with more players. Hopefully I can finally get in touch with the Dynamo people to get a few interviews that I was planning to get. I'm just kind of haven't heard anything back. But yeah, keep crossing soccer borders.